Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
In 2013, two brutal murders left the city of Davis, California, paralyzed in fear.
The victims were an elderly couple. It was up close and personal.
I'm 48 Hours correspondent Erin Moriarty. I thought I had seen it all until I encountered the mastermind behind those murders.
I think the word is psychotic.
This is 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders. Follow and listen to 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You just heard Bogus there play the sound from Aaron Glenn. Like, who's he kidding? Justin Fields got to be the starting quarterback here.
I was actually out of the room. So what he said, he doesn't know?
He said he doesn't need to name it now because they have the bye week, which is fine. Like, whatever. Okay, understood. There should be no question anymore. Justin Fields has earned the right to start. First of all, he's the better player of the two. I know he's had a rough year, but he's the better player of the two. You saw what he did in week one. You saw what he did yesterday. You can't tell me Tyrod Taylor can do that on his best day. He can't. What's the question here? And also, what are you trying to do? Like, you're trying to build a foundation, try to win some football games. Justin Fields got to be the guy. It's a non-starter.
Was it contentious again? Just
no,
curious.
No.
Okay, good guy.
No.
So hopefully he's learned his lesson there. Yeah, I mean, hey, but Woody, suck on that. How do you like that? How do you look yesterday? Honestly.
By the way, I continued listening to this book. I picked it back up again. That book I told you, Crazy Rich, about the Johnson family.
Yeah.
It's wild.
Really?
I really
you keep referencing. Like, what's nuts about it,
dude? It gives you such a perspective on why Woody Johnson is so out of touch. Like, this goes back to the 1800s. How his family built the Johnson and Johnson empire.
Uh huh.
Like. Family upon family, about like different generations.
Lucky guy.
Well, understood. But when
we should all be so lucky.
When you're born into that level of fortune and fame, I totally understand why he is the way that he is. Anyway, a listener recommended it to me either a year ago, a couple years ago.
Yep.
I was like, all right, I'm not going to read the book. I think he sent me the book, and then I downloaded the Audible version of it. And I was like halfway through, and I was like, I'm not going to do that. But then I picked it back up because Woody's been relevant again.
Yeah.
And it reminded me of how nuts he is. Anyway,
Woody.
So that's the Jets aspect of it. If they get a big win, finally, we'll see if Aaron Glenn now can settle things down and maybe build off of that. As for the Giants, you know, 2-6 is 2-6. Any way you slice it, with the quarterback, without the quarterback, with the defense that they have, without it, it doesn't matter. And to me, that is an indictment on the head coach just not knowing how to win. He did a good job of winning his first year, getting a team with less than talent to the postseason. But since then, BT, just too many losses piling up for multiple reasons. It wasn't just that they lost to the Eagles, and we went into some of the detail with the bad officiating and all that, and obviously the Scadaboo injury. It's last week's loss to the Broncos. It's week two to the Cowboys. The way they played against the Saints, those things can't happen if you want to build a successful season, a winning season, something Brian Daboll hasn't had now in 3 years.
I'm going to throw something that I don't even believe has a chance to make any sense, but I'll just to be fair to the situation, and maybe more specifically, because I think we've been fair, to view it maybe through a different prism to open up a little bit of a different conversation. So we talk about the Saints game and the meltdown at the end of Dallas, and obviously, you know, the way things went yesterday, even though the officials had their nasty fingerprints all over, Giants got absolutely bent over yesterday. Everybody knows it. What about, and the common thought is, well, better coaching, the Giants would have won a game or two of those, right? And I understand that. But nobody's saying that with lesser coaching, maybe they would have gotten rubbed out and destroyed. So,
I mean, they've only got two wins.
No, I know. But, like, to hang 40 in Dallas, I know that Dallas' defense is not good. Like, Daboll had his team ready to go offensively. You know, yesterday, if the refs don't have such a glaring impact on the game, once again, Brian Daboll had his team ready to play. He had his team ready to play against the Chargers, had his team ready to play against the Eagles the first time, had his team ready to play against the Saints despite the implosion, had his team ready to play against the Broncos. You can even make the case now it was ugly, and this is pre-Jackson Dart, but from a competitive point of view, had his team ready to play against the Commanders.
Right, ready to play, he just doesn't know how to win.
Well, that's what I was getting into. Like, yeah. Does he have enough to win?
I think he does, yeah. And that's why I'm making my decision. Like, I've given him a pass for the most part over 3 years. I think he's had enough to win at the very least two more games than they've had this year, and that is a huge difference right now. If they were 4-4, this is a totally different situation, and they should be at the very least. And it's not just a, well, any team could have won. Yeah, okay, understood. They have had two horrific losses with under a minute to go after they scored what should have been dagger touchdowns. I'm not giving even the Saints game. That can't happen. And he's done this before, whether it's giving away games with not having a kicker last year, whatever it may be. We've been in this spot too many times before. You could also say that they should have gone to Jackson Dart sooner in the season. Now, I'm not one of those people, but there was a path to the Giants having a season beyond Halloween. And Dable didn't choose the correct path for whatever reason, a litany of reasons. And again, they're 2-6. I can't make excuses for that. And I can't also confidently say that it's going to be different next year.
I'm not looking for excuses. Trust me. We don't want them on the show. Nobody does. Nobody cares about that. You win, you lose, whatever. But the reality is this. He's been here. This is year four, as we know. And I don't know what they were the last couple of years, but I know they weren't very good. You know, the win totals projected for the Giants were incredibly low, among the lowest in the NFL. So all I'm saying is there's a difference as we try to contextualize the Brian Daboll run here. It's a little tricky because never once has he been given a good team. He hasn't been given a good team. So when you don't have a good team and you've got a massive disparity in talent, as he's often had, as he's always had, not often, always, I don't know what we expect here. Now, you want to tell me, all right, hey, figure out a way to communicate to your coordinator at the end of a game to not go prevent defense? No doubt. That's on the coach. I'm with you. And I'm not even a real Dable believer. You know that about me. I think that, like, the Giants, to me, they've got one, outside of the appeal and the future of Jackson Dart, that's obvious. But the Giants have one supposedly really good unit on their team, and that's their defense, like their front four, front seven-ish, but certainly front four. Dude, they're third worst in the NFL.
All right, so whose fault is that?
Well, that's not Dable's fault. Well, that's Shane's fault.
He's the head coach.
I understand that, but that's Joe Shane's fault.
Why? Everybody loves Kayvon Thibodeau. Everybody loved Dexter Lawrence. Wait, Brian Burns.
He didn't draft him. Now, Burns has been great, so you got to give him credit there. You know, not Dable.
Who
you got to give him Shane.
You're talking about Dexter Lawrence?
Well, I'm talking about everybody on the team on the defense. I think that was previous GM, certainly with Dexter Lawrence. We know that. And I don't think that Dable said, I want...
He drafted Kayvon Thibodeau. He drafted Abdul Carter.
Shane did.
Yes.
No, I know. So what I'm saying is, I don't think that Dable's ever had adequate talent going into a year. I really don't.
I think this year they had... And that's maybe where we disagree with this year. And by the way, that win total, the season, win total at 5.5, whatever it was, that was before Jackson Dart ever set foot on a field.
It was also before Neighbors went down for the year. Let me ask you this. Now, this is just one unit. Giants have the blank what worst receiving core in the NFL. I don't know. 25th, 26th? They got nobody.
Right.
I mean, without Malik Neighbors. They got a couple of young tight ends, whatever. Right. Scatabu's gone. I mean, what do we expect?
But is there problem scoring points?
No, okay. But that's what I'm saying, Sal.
But then I don't want to hear about Neighbors because it's irrelevant because they're scoring points.
Yeah, but hold on. Yes and no, because he's scoring points without any guys that are really thought of very highly around the league. So to me, that's a check in the column for Dable, not a minus.
Yeah, I mean, I just totally disagree with that. Not to mention the Daniel Jones stuff where I look at it as a direct indictment that Daniel Jones in year one can go to a better situation and have that type of success where the Giants couldn't figure it out for 3 years here, obviously predating Dable as well, but Dable also couldn't figure that out. BT and Sal on the Fan, our friends at Town Fair Tire, remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Josh is calling from Far Rockaway. What's up, Josh?
Hey, what's up, guys? Before I get to my Giants part, I just want to say that's the first time I ever heard a Belichick to the Giants scenario that actually makes sense. I'm here for 2 years. Get this team back to winning. You have no say over personnel. Break Don Shula's record. It actually makes sense. Like, people, you know, have to give us 3 first-round picks to get him, but it's really end-of-year conversation. And there's a staff floating around last 160 years. of the Jets and Giants combined, only one coach has had three losing seasons in a row and kept their job. And so you're going to give the GM a lot of credit? He had four picks in the top seven or eight in the last 4 years because he had two the first year. The coach is 2-6 for the third year in a row. What? They're a team. How could you fire the coach right now and keep the GM? Explain that to me. How does that make any sense? They'll bring in a new GM the next year who will have a coach he didn't hire, who will both have a quarterback they didn't draft?
No, I think, I think the one thing we agree on, Josh, and thank you for the call, at least BT and I, that if they are going to make a change, it's got to be both.
Mm-hmm.
You can't keep Shane and fire Dable. That would make no sense.
That's dysfunction.
Yeah. So that's one thing that we haven't discussed really Shane as much. It's always going to be about the head coach. And I actually believe that this year, whereas last year I would get more on Shane, even though the fire was toward Dable, the seat was hot with Dable. This year I think it's more on Brian Dable than it is on Joe Shane. I think Shane has done a better job bringing in more talent that Dable should have better results with at this particular point. One or two games makes a huge difference in the NFL, and that's what we're talking about. But I would, if they don't win over the course of the next nine games, if they don't win at least five of those games, I would clean house and get both of them out.
I don't know how they're going to win five games. I mean, that is a number that that's astonishingly high to me. Five wins?
Maybe. I mean, I have different expectations. I think that they should be better. Yeah.
Five. Oh, my God. I hope so, because, you know, it was pretty enjoyable on this little giant roller coaster for a little bit as it was going up, you know? It was fun.
They could be favorites in the final four games. I'm not saying they definitely will, but, and again, you don't know, it's a long season. You know, from now to week 15 even can be different, but they could be favorites. They have three of the final four home games. The only one that's on the road is at the Raiders. So they should be able to beat Vegas. They should be able to beat the Vikings at home, Commanders and Cowboys. That's the way I'm looking at it. I also don't look at this game against the Niners as an impossibility. The Bears as an impossibility. I think the last 2 weeks, specifically yesterday, was more about the Eagles being very good. Obviously, some calls didn't go the Giants' way. They should have beaten the Broncos. If you beat Denver in Denver, that to me is the most impressive, one of the most impressive things you could do, period, this year. And they had that done. And yet the coaching staff coughed it up. So that's why I maybe have higher expectations looking at the remainder of schedule.
If they would have won that Denver game, I don't know if Giant fans would necessarily feel this way, but I think I would join you in this regard. It would be the most impressive win. Even if they did. Even beating Philly at MetLife, you know, divisional rival, the energy there. Denver's a different monster just in terms of the altitude, the defense, etc. The Chargers win was really good and like a little like, okay, here we go. Maybe we get some crumbs this season. We piece this together. I don't think anybody thinks the Chargers are an elite team. They're a little flawed. They're good. They're competitive, and they when they play well, they play well. But there's been too many weeks where I'm like, man, even when they win, sometimes I'm like, that wasn't incredibly impressive. That Denver win, if they would have held, especially the way Denver looked yesterday, that one would have resonated for sure, no question.
Chris is in Belleville, New Jersey, about his Jets. What's up, Chris?
Hey, Chris.
Hey, what's up, guys? BT, I was looking for the pod after the big win. I was like, where is it?
I know. I'm jumping on it early this week. Your family obligations.
Always. Hey, yep. I'm 48, and I just wanted to say about Nick Mangold, you know, in my lifetime, there hasn't been many Jets players that have made being a Jets fan feel cool, and he sure as hell was one of them, man. So I just want to say rest in peace to him and God bless his family. You know, they played the Ring of Honor speech where he cracked the Bud Light yesterday. It reminded me how much of a down-to-earth cool dude he was. So,
you know what, Chris, that's a really good way to describe him. I'm sure you guys saw the videos or the freeze, the picture when he's banging on the boards at the Rangers game with his hair and his beard and his blue Rangers jersey. He's going to be missed, man. He's a good man. I keep thinking about his kids, four young kids. I see the picture, and it's almost like I can't look at it because we're dads. I don't know if you are a dad, Chris. Sam and I are.
Yep.
And I just look at that picture. I look at his wife. I look at the emptiness. I look at the kids. And you just know that their life's altered. And it's just, it's impossible to explain, man. He's 41. Come on.
Yeah, absolutely. I, one thing about the Jets, you know, look, the game meant nothing other than we'll remember it as the game that they won for Nick, you know, so to speak. I hope that when they come back from the bye, that Breece Hall still a Jet. I know there's been a lot of talk about trading him. I don't think they're going to get back what the value is that he will give the team, whether it's Justin Fields, whether it's a rookie quarterback next year. I think they got to keep Breece Hall, understand that he's got value and talent, and I'd like to see him stay on the team.
Yeah, I'm kind of going the other way here. You know, I'm of the mind, and listen, he's incredibly talented. I'm of the mindset, if I lose a lot with you, even though clearly a running back, it's not his fault that you lose the way they do, then I can, I'm willing to go in a different direction if the trade is fair and, you know, see what we could do here. So if they want, no, I'm not giving up Jermaine Johnson. That's somebody I'd like to hold on to. But, you know, even if somebody called about Quinnen Williams, who I just don't think does enough, and don't, I know you can hit me with interior PFF numbers. I don't even really look at that as much. But I just don't think that he's quite had the impact. So if you want Q, if you want Gardner, I want to hold on to Garrett Wilson. I don't need to hold on to Breece Hall myself. But I think a lot of Jet fans are connected to him because, Sal, when you have a bad team and you have, you know, one or two shining lights or home run hitters, you know, whether it's baseball or football home run hitter, you almost overstate their value. I mean, he's been here forever. They've done nothing. I don't need Breece Hall.
Yeah, I just want to try to win as many games as possible, though, in year one, build that culture, and hard to justify moving on from your best offensive piece, especially without Garrett Wilson. Now, it depends on the return. I'm also not just giving him away.
Yeah.
It's got to make sense. If you could get something that you think is going to benefit you next year or in the future.
Third rounder, you do it?
Yeah, of course. Okay. Well, I don't know about just the third rounder, but I'm saying if it's something that you think is worth it, third rounder for what, next year?
Mm-hmm.
I would strongly consider it. Yeah. I mean, I'm not committing big money to a running back anyway with Breece Hall.
He's been hurt before.
Yeah, I know, but just replacing that talent's not going to be easy.
It's not, but you'd have to tag him for $10 million.
If Braylon Allen were healthy, maybe it makes it easier. You move on from him. Yep. I'm not believer in Breece Hall long term. So I'm not locking myself into that. I'm just saying that I wouldn't be looking to do that now. And unfortunately, that's when they're going to have to make the decision.
Yep.
You know, with the trade deadline, what is it, November 4th? Whatever.
November 4th, yeah.
Okay, so, you know, that's coming up here. The Jets will have one more game before then. No, actually, they won't.
That's the buy.
Their
game
is after that. All right, so this is it. So now you're going to tell me you're going to trade him off of this particular game?
Hey, he may as well sell high. Yeah. I mean, if you're going to trade, it's better than going 13 carries for 23 yards and everybody's saying, nah, maybe he's not worth it. Like, the last impression is going to be strong around the league.
Do you do it for a third round pick?
Yeah, I would. Definitely. Yep. I'm not giving it big money. That's it. By the time the Jets actually, and he's an incredibly talented player, everybody knows that, but when they actually fill out the roster, you know, where is Breece Hall physically? Where is he age-wise? Where is he contractually in terms of percentage of the cap? And I know the cap is going up. He's a lightning player. He's an explosive player when he's right. But he's not going to be here in 3 years. He's not.
I mean, he could also be their future franchise quarterback. He did throw a touchdown yesterday, which is something that's been hard to come by for Justin Fields and others.
The funny thing is, too, with Mason Taylor. Hey, by the way, Muji hit on Mason Taylor. Mason Taylor could play. That is Jets fine. For all the years that they never have a tight end, Jets actually have a tight end moving forward. I really like Mason Taylor. You look at the tape of Breece throwing that ball. Mason Taylor was wide open. Breece didn't throw it. And then the double team comes, and Breece throws it. And Mason's like, whoop, I'll take that.
That was a great catch. Ball. Mike is calling from Paramus. What's up, Mike?
Hey, guys. So just to comment to what BT said before, and I understand somewhat what it's coming from when you say the Giants just aren't good. And I get it. I'm a long-term Giants fan. I'll always be a Giants fan, good, bad, or indifferent. The way I see it, I think the way a lot of Giants fans are seeing it is we've been a bad team for a long time. And I think there's three levels of teams in this league. I think there's bad, there's good, and there's great. And I think great teams find ways to win games. I think bad teams just find ways to lose games. And I think bad teams that transition into good teams are in a more of a learning curve on we're not bad. And we're actually good, but we just don't know how to put the pieces of the puzzle to really be that good, solid, in-the-middle good team where you're going to win some games you shouldn't win, you're going to lose some games you shouldn't lose. But I think it's an organizationally, from organization top, from coaches to players, where you have to learn how to come in with a mentality that we are a good team. And we're going to make mistakes, but we have to find ways to win games and be a consistent good team and transition out of that good team to become a great team. And I think that's where the Giants are falling right now. I don't think they're a bad team, and I don't think they're a great team. I think they're seeing themselves right now as, you know, we're pretty good. We got these new rookies that came in. We've been dead. We've been stagnantly dead for ages, where we're walking out of the stadium at halftime. We know we're going into these games We're going to get beat. We're just hoping we don't get killed.
Scoring 10 points.
All of a sudden now, let me finish. All of a sudden now, we're hanging in, and we're beating teams, and we're hanging in games that we normally
You're not beating teams, though. You lost the game
we
last week.
We beat the Eagles. Yeah. We beat the Eagles, who are a Super Bowl champion team.
Mike.
We beat the Chargers, who are a very good team.
Right. Okay.
We have to learn how to finish.
You've played eight. And thank you for the call, Mike. Appreciate you checking in. I'll let you finish. You're going on for 5 minutes there. You won two games. That, to me, is the bottom line. Like, yes, of course it's better than what it was pre-Jackson Dart. Ultimately, you've got to win games. This is year four of their regime. And by the way, if it were just about the rookie quarterback that was costing them games, making some mistakes, you'd be like, all right, well, everything was in place and the rookies made some mistakes. Understood. This, to me, is not that. That Denver game was not on Jackson Dart. If anything, he elevated everybody to have them try to win that game multiple times over. And the defense and the coaching staff did all they could to lose that game. So that is not what you're talking about. That, to me, is on the coaching staff. Week two, coaching staff. Those are two games. 4-4 is a totally different world than 2-6. And if this were just the first time that we've seen this, then I can understand that. We've seen this repeatedly with Brian Daboll. That's all that I'm saying. I think their team should be better than what their record says.
I don't. You know that by now. I don't. Not that they couldn't have gotten one of those games that you just alluded to. I just don't think their talent's very good on offense. I really don't. But I will say this, right? Think about all the Giant games we've watched over the last X amount of years. It's like the same script every year. 20-6, midway through the third quarter, a lot of three and outs, a lot of punts. You know, you get a field goal and you're like, all right, here we go, hanging around. We're not dead yet. Two score game. Like, you really do watch the Giants with a different level of hope. A different level of anticipation. And, you know, there's a little juice with the Giants here. To the point, you know, where is it at the end of the season? Does that juice dissipate? It might. If you don't win a lot more games the rest of the way, which I don't necessarily think that they will. But at least this year, up until now, even including yesterday, it has felt a little different. That might not pay the bills, but that could be enough for ownership. It could be.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
In 2013, two brutal murders left the city of Davis, California, paralyzed in fear.
The victims were an elderly couple. It was up close and personal.
I'm 48 Hours correspondent Erin Moriarty. I thought I had seen it all until I encountered the mastermind behind those murders.
I think the word is psychotic.
This is 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders. Follow and listen to 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Cam Ward on the sideline yelling at Mike McCoy, the interim head coach there in Tennessee. First of all, the Titans just are absolutely dreadful and pathetic football team. But Cam Ward, who's not very good, is yelling at his head coach. Think about where we're at, BT. I don't care if it's an interim head coach or not. Like, think about how many years Mike McCoy has been a coach in football. Not to mention that he was a head coach. Not to mention that he is currently the interim head coach, whatever it may be. He's the head coach of a football team. How is it okay to have a quarterback yelling at your head coach saying, come on, we got to go for it? Like, if I'm the head coach, you know what I would have said to Cam Ward? Hey, Cam, with the way you throw the football, I wish I could go for it, but I can't because you stink. What makes you think that if we go for it, we're going to get it when you throw the ball in the dirt all day long? We can't run it. We can't throw it. Nobody can catch it. And you want me to go for it? Like, that's what the attitude Mike McCoy should have had. I don't know if he was just too much in the game to where he kind of ignored it. But the idea, the goal of Cam Ward, a rookie, BT. Like, that would be bad if anybody did it in my mind. A rookie quarterback yelling at his head coach like that. We have come a long way here. And to me, it's not a good thing, the lack of respect in society and certainly in the NFL.
The power, the pecking order, the power, the authority is largely gone. It really is. There's still a few people who can run a tight ship and get away with it. And Rick Pitino's one of them. I mean, you think about the college game. How many coaches still have the juice to really push their players the way Rick does and then, you know, get on them in the papers and the press conference if he has to? Those figures are dying. And I think that, you know, Cam Ward, whether it's Cam Ward or some others, shouldn't really be surprised by this, but he's having a kind of like a Jamarcus Russell season. Think about this. Now, he doesn't have quite as many picks here, but he's what, 50? You have his stats? 57%, I think. I think he's 57% completion percentage. Now, that was bad 25, 30 years ago when maybe the 62% or so was like the best in the NFL. But nowadays, everybody's basically pushing 70. Dude, Drake May.
57.7 is
completely. 57? Yeah. All right, so we'll round it up 58%. So he's sub 60. Drake May is over 75%. Same with Jared Goff. Tyler Hunt, well, he only played a few games here. Lamar's high. Same with Jones is in the 70s. Jordan Love in the 70s. Dak in the 70s. Jalen Hurts in the 70s. And this guy's wallowing. Just keep going down the list. I'm not there yet. Oh, there he is. Dead last. 57.7. And he going to pull that?
Yeah, but
says a lot.
And to me, even if he were good, like, you think Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen in their first year, now maybe they were, I don't recall it. You think in their first year as rookies, they were yelling at the head coach, having a conversation with the coach about, hey, coach, come on, let's go for it. This was different. This was, come on, Mike, we got to go for it. When your play clearly indicates, no, dude, you stink, and everybody on this roster stinks. Like, I wish McCoy would have done something about it. Now, he's not going to retain this job. There's no chance that being the case, but yeah, come on, dude. You're the head coach. Show some guts here. You're right. Where's the pecking order? How can we get to a point where a rookie is going to question the head coach on the sideline openly?
I think part of it's social media. I think part of it is NIL in college. I think part of it is just societal norms and boundaries have been lowered. I think part of it is that schools don't hold young kids accountable, from a disciplinary point of view anymore. Parents don't do it as much anymore. The nonsense these kids are exposed to. Should I keep going? I mean, I'll tell you this. Now, I went to Catholic school first through eighth grade, and so did my mom. My dad went to public. My mom went to Catholic. When my mom was there, I mean, you were getting smashed with rulers. I was like the first generation of Catholic school students where that didn't quite happen that much. But I'll tell you what, I mean, a couple times it happened where you either got, you know, a little slap in the face or a ruler across the knuckles. I mean, you got not much, but when you got it, you knew, and you didn't do it again. And when you can't discipline kids without fear of a lawsuit or some sort of retribution or penalty or, you know, you being exposed to the school board and you losing your job, when you can't do that, same with police in a lot of ways, when you're not allowed to police and use the authority that you should have, that was granted to you when you either were sworn in or became a teacher, what the hell do you expect? This is where we're at.
I'm all for a healthy back and forth, but as a rookie, you got to know your place, not to mention that you've been awful, but it's just, and it's not just, that's one example of a world where we've seen it endless times.
No doubt. And you and I share the same mindset with that. Think about this real quick. So whether it's Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders, who still is not playing for the Browns there, think about how close the Giants were to not getting Dart.
Yeah, I know.
Let that, so we can sit here and say, the Giants are 2-6, and they are. The Giants probably going 4 or 5 games. That's what I think. Well, and the coach might get fired. They could have Cam Ward or Sanders right now instead of Dart.
To your point, and we have this argument all the time, I'm not a believer in tanking. Do you think if the Giants had the number one pick, they'd have Jackson Dart?
No chance. Zero.
They would have tanked. They would have got Cam Ward, and we might have been in the same situation, a worse situation.
Yep.
You know, then the Titans, potentially. BT and Sal on the fan. Larry is calling from St. Augustine, Florida. What's up, Larry?
What's going on, guys? I can't tell you. First off, I've been waiting so long. I actually wrote down a list, so I stayed on track and didn't waste your time, okay?
There you go.
The first is, dude, what a pleasure it is to talk to you guys. I'm originally from Long Island myself, but I joined the military in 2000, So I didn't really get up on the train with you guys until about a year ago. And let me tell you, this has been like group therapy as a New York fan with you guys. So it's been great.
Awesome, man.
Thank you. Thanks, we appreciate buddy. That. Yeah. Appreciate your service.
Yeah. There you go.
Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. And I'm not positive, but I'm pretty sure. I think I saw Sal. I was at the Yogi Berra charity golf tournament here this past summer. I don't know. I'm pretty sure you guys were there. I'm not positive, but anyway,
not at Yogi Berra. Joe Torre, we were at. Not Yogi Berra, but that's okay.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Well,
maybe next year.
Anyway, so let me go over the things I wanted to do. All right. So first is. Rest in peace to Nick. As a father myself, around the same age, completely devastating. I am a Giants fan, but man, I'm a football guy and I'm a father. And you know, God rest his soul. I'm going to go over some funny things on the lighter side. Being from New York, you know, we're winners, man. We have pride. But I feel like either Joe Torre or Cashman sold their soul to the devil for the last championship. And ever since then, New York's been in the pits. So so what I was going to get at is, with the change with, I'm hearing all these fans calling in about, hey, let's keep Dable, what is wrong with you guys, and stuff like that. I get the sentiment. I agree with some of the things you guys are saying. But at some point, there's got to be accountability. And when you're a professional, you're at the highest level, you're getting paid to do this stuff and paid to win and paid to know these situations that us as fans don't know. That you should know how to win. And my little two-bit, you know, armchair quarterback stuff, I would say if you're going to look at a change, let's look at the real original QB whisperer, which is Gruden. I mean, he had Brad Johnson, Rich Gannon going to the Super Bowl. If he can win with those guys, Jackson Dart, we're going to have a dynasty then. You know, but anyway, that's, you know, that's my dream stuff.
Well, thank you.
Thanks,
we appreciate you taking the time to call. Yeah. And like we said, thank you for your service and thank you for support and listening. Yeah, I mean, I would have to see all the options out there. I'm not opposed to Gruden, although I would think that if he didn't get hired this last go-around, I don't know, I'm starting to feel like it might not happen for him at this particular point.
Yeah, I mean, that was messy, but sometimes the further you get removed from that, it might actually open the door for somebody to hire you. So I think that there's still a chance somebody will. He said that Gruden was the first QB whisperer. I don't even really believe in that too much myself, but I'd probably say somebody more like Bill Walsh with that West Coast offense, very completion and lower risk, you know, more a little bit easier for a quarterback either way. I was just jotting down a couple of things he said. The other thing, Larry, you said that, you know, we're winners and we have pride. Well, we have pride, but we're not winners. He's talking about New York sports fan. We're losers. What winners? I mean, Mets haven't won since 86. Yanks haven't won since 2009. Knicks haven't won since 73. Rangers haven't won since 94. Who wins? I mean, nobody wins. Really. We're not winners. Now, we have intense pride, and we don't accept the losing. But to say that we're winners, that's not true, Larry. Not our city.
A side note here. Hoff was in my ear during that segment. Hoff, don't give it away yet.
Oh.
He told me that we have a guest coming up at 1 o'clock. One of the more famous, I would say, they got to be one of the more famous people in the entire world right now.
No? What?
Yes.
In the entire world?
Yeah, now I don't want to give it away yet. Hoff, you can confirm this is
athlete
happening.
Athlete or no?
No.
Musician? Maybe a musician there, just the way he said no.
Is this definite at 1 o'clock?
1 o'clock.
One of the more famous people in the world.
In the world.
In the world.
Is going to join us live, BTSL.
Yes.
All right, so you want to, we're going to take a quick break.
I just told Bogus to get ready.
Wait, did he call us and say, I want to come on? Did you book him?
It's booked.
You didn't book him, did you?
Yeah, no, I don't do anything back here. Dove actually handled this one.
So you've been working on this underneath the radar, and it's a big one.
Gigantic.
I feel like with you, I never know. I want to believe you, but is this like
Now I will say, I know very little about the subject.
So it's got to be about politics.
I'll definitely help with this.
You got President Trump coming on.
No.
You always say you don't like politics.
It is not political. Think about it for a little bit.
I'm confused as hell, man. Yeah.
All right, you want to just tell him now, Hoff, or you want to tease it?
Tell us when we get back.
Okay.
I'll tell you when it comes back.
But we are not lying. As long
I'll
as you
show you the emails.
Confirm. 1 o'clock, one of the most famous people in the world. Okay, yes. And we'll have BT guess. We'll reveal that live when we come
and
back.
And you know who it is.
Only because he just told me.
Okay, we'll play some games. I mean, this.
Oh, wait, hold on. You know who this person is before I told you who they were.
Yes.
You just found out.
Yeah. No. I actually meant that does he know who's coming on?
Yes.
Because you just told him in his ear.
Yeah.
All right. We'll play the guessing game coming up. Play the guessing game. I'm excited.
I don't think you're going to be disappointed.
Really?
I don't think so.
Am I going to like it more than you? Him or is it he or she?
He just gave me those crazy eyes.
I think it's a she. All right.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
In 2013, two brutal murders left the city of Davis, California, paralyzed in fear.
The victims were an elderly couple. It was up close and personal.
I'm 48 Hours correspondent Erin Moriarty. I thought I had seen it all until I encountered the mastermind behind those murders.
I think the word is psychotic.
This is 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders. Follow and listen to 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hoff has been working on this for a while. He said that they will be joining us.
See, I was right. It's a she.
Maybe it could be throwing you off right there. They will be joining us at 1 o'clock. Hoff, you want to give BT some guesses here? I know the audience is dying to find out. I'm getting texts about it as well.
Okay.
Oh, go ahead. Give us a clue first.
She is huge.
Like 220 pounds huge or just very famous?
Actually, to be honest with you, she gained 30 pounds for the film that she's going to be promoted.
Okay, so we know it's a female.
It's an actress.
And we know she is in a film. She gained how many pounds?
30? 30.
All right, 30 you have pounds. All the info set for us here?
I do.
Okay, let's see. So, has she been on the Hollywood scene for a while?
I would say over the past 6-7 years, she is one of the top starlets.
That long, huh? 6-7 years?
Yeah. Which when we were talking about what things she's been in, I'm like, I'm surprised you didn't know she was in all this stuff.
I was not that familiar. Even one of the shows that she was in, I watched, but I don't remember her in it.
Netflix fame, Apple fame, big screen fame? A little bit of everything?
Definitely HBO.
What if I said...
HBO.
What if I said commercial fame?
Definitely commercial fame.
I know who we're talking about. The phones?
No.
No.
You can say with the phone.
What's her name?
Zoe Saldana. It's not Zoe Saldana.
Hold on, Sal. What's her name again? Because I know you like her, too. What's her name?
I forget. Wait, which one are you talking about?
Zoe Saldana.
Yes.
No, it's not her.
Okay.
I thought it was her. No.
I think she's bigger in certain areas than Zoe Saldana.
She's more famous as well.
I would think so, yeah.
Okay. You know, I'm not going to have many guesses here. I really don't know.
I'll give you a hair color. Do you want a hair color?
Yeah, and then maybe the initials.
Okay. Blonde.
I mean, listen, I'm stuck in my musical bubble from years ago, and I'm same thing with actresses. So I'm thinking Jennifer Aniston.
No.
I'm thinking, I don't
know. She is younger.
Drew Barrymore. No.
No, stop it. No.
Looking this up. She's 28.
She's 28. She was personally attached to a soap, too, by the way. Talk about, like, you know, commercials that she was
in. I'm a little nervous because I really don't know much about her.
It doesn't sound like I know much about her either. So this could be worse than the station.
The first name starts with an S.
S.
Remember, big commercial. There was controversy.
And the last name starts with an S. SS.
I'm lost, man. I have no idea.
No, that's not the answer.
Yeah, who is it?
Dove, have you heard of her before?
Sophia.
Yes. Can I say what kind of commercial she was in?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
The jeans commercial.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, well, what's her name?
Yeah.
Who?
What's her name? Forget her name.
You say it.
I'm forgetting her name. I don't know.
I think
I have it. I'm just forgetting her name at the moment.
What does it start with?
Well, you said S, right?
Right. Yeah, okay. That's good.
It's not. I don't know, man.
All right, you want me to just say?
Please tell me.
One more hint. You ready?
No, just tell us. I'm drowning.
She did not cover the Yankees for us.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
God Almighty, Dover.
Hop, go ahead. Hit us with it.
Sydney Sweeney.
It is. Wow. And the she is one, jeans. Yeah, yeah. Oh, no, of course. There was
There was a big controversy with what was it, Abercrombie and whatever.
Was it Vince or was it
Finch? I don't know.
I don't know what she endorsed there.
So she is promoting a movie
called Christy. She was actually, Christy is a boxer, and this is like a biography type of thing. So she's playing this character. And she loves mixed martial arts, so this is like straight up my alley, too. So I can definitely help you guys out a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, do you want to do the interview for me? Because I don't know what the hell we're going to ask her.
Yes, I do, actually.
So she was apparently in White Lotus. Did you watch White
Lotus?
Yeah,
she was in White Lotus. Euphoria. She was in a bunch of horror movies. The Nun Part 2, I think it was.
The Nun Part 2. Yeah. That sounds like an 80s,
you know if she's Friday a sports 13, fan
Part 9.
Yeah, she loves MMA. Like, she loves UFC, yes.
Is she, like, an actual sports fan? Not to disparage MMA, but you know what I'm saying.
Like, she likes combat.
Grey's Anatomy she was on.
First
started out there, 28 years of age. She's from Washington. She's got The Housemaid coming up. I mean, I'm going to have to do some real research here. I mean, I know there's some bits of controversy a little bit, but...
Coming on in about 5 minutes.
All right, you introduce her. You got the first question. Good luck, dude.
Hop, you better bring me out.
All right, yeah.
Honestly, why don't you just do it with us the whole time? Yeah. I'm dead serious.
No, it's too many people.
How
long do we have?
You guys got it for 10 minutes. It's like a Macaulay Culkin thing. Gotcha. You got it for 10 minutes.
Well, he was like five.
He was actually four. I remember that.
He was cool, though. He was actually really cool.
Well, and obviously we had Home Alone. Like, there was all the things we could
Christmas, it was around Christmas. Okay.
All right, so Sydney Sweeney, you can't.
it's like a tough test. Not going to be able to fake our way through this one.
BT and Sal, the fan, will come back. We'll have Sydney Sweeney on the other side to promote her new movie, Christy. So we're looking forward to that. And then next hour, we'll get back to your calls as well, 888-808-1019.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
In 2013, two brutal murders left the city of Davis, California, paralyzed in fear.
The victims were an elderly couple. It was up close and personal.
I'm 48 Hours correspondent Erin Moriarty. I thought I had seen it all until I encountered the mastermind behind those murders.
I think the word is psychotic.
This is 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders. Follow and listen to 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.